Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
Afternoon delight.
All right. A modified new open. Nice job. Eric was... just,
Brilliant.
Side split. How do you say that? Side split?
Side split.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. Everybody's here. Andy, Eric, me, Doc in the booth. Where's Kevin?
He's not here.
Jury duty.
And Paul is out covering the children's hospital visit by players. And
stepped up for us.
That's his new thing now. It's the nude signed. Paul, nude charitable Paul.
That's new, not good. Nude, right?
Yeah,
no, new,
no,
because nude. If he goes to those, see those kids.
If he went to a hospital nude, they might admit him. You're not going anywhere, sir. Stat. I need a stretcher. Stat.
You're not going anywhere. Stat.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482.
We're all in a pretty good mood.
The
ace tick hotline. End of our world.
Well, you know, you got to take these things.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. First off, we'll be here until 2, and this is a very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. Big news yesterday and broke. Stephen Neal is retiring.
Yep.
Again. No, he never really retired before. He just thought about it.
He thought about it. But yeah. When you think about it, when you've already started thinking about it, you're kind of
right
there.
Yeah.
And we had another surgery.
Yeah, which kind of surprised us last year when he turned around and signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
At least I was surprised. I don't know about you guys.
So he is retired. Did they have the phone conference call yet?
It's happening during the show.
Okay, so if anything happens on that, we'll get there, but... I mean, the question with Neal is, aside from what now the Patriots do, is what is he going to do? Because he was thinking about going into maybe pro wrestling or MMA.
MMA, and he has shot that down.
Yeah, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's come to his senses.
You know how much he can't play football, and that would put so much pressure on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And he's literally had half dozen surgeries on those shoulders.
No, he's done athletically with anything.
Oh, so back to Bakersfield.
Sure, he's made his money.
He probably will be very heavily involved with the Cal. I mean, he's been heavily involved trying to keep the program alive.
Right.
He'll probably go back and do something there.
Okay. All right, well,
but
that...
the bigger issue is...
what happens with
you
the
You now have two offensive linemen, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Dan Copen and Sebastian Vollmer, because even though Mankins is franchised,
right,
he's certainly not a lock to be there day one of the right. season.
Two and a half, two well, and a half if you want to count
certainly
Connelly.
His leverage just went way up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you have to sign him. I mean, I know no one wants to be held over a barrel, and Bill Belichick probably doesn't allow that to happen to him, but you're going to have probably young guys around him. Vollmer is already a cost certainty at this point. He's your best lineman. He's a leader of the linemen. He's always healthy. He's
not
always
only,
there.
He's not only your best lineman, Andy. He's one of the best in the league at his position. I know it's just guard, but you rarely get a guy on your team who's the best in his position in the league. And when you have one, especially when you have one of the best players in the league at his position in the quarterback that he's protecting, I think you should do what you can to try to keep the guy around.
Unless, you know, you're saying to yourself right now, we're just going to go buy some guys in free agency. You're not going to have to pay what you would pay Mankins because they're not going to be up to his level.
Oh, okay. But to get anything close, you're going to have to.
Right, but maybe,
teams overpay
maybe you feel that if I do the right thing, I don't need guys of Mankins' level, you know? So
as I joked upstairs, unless you're playing online in Paul, Eric, and Andy in front of Tom Brady, I'm concerned about the offensive line a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if you draft him. If they draft a guard, I'm not going to feel okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying, because your first point is right. No matter what you do, the existing guys are going to be surrounded by young guys unless you supplement that with some veteran
free
agents.
But even then, I mean, Derek Dockery got cut. He was a guy that signed one of those big deals 3 years ago, maybe one of those like $49 million deals. He's a name. I don't know how good Derek Dockery is. I haven't watched him on a weekly basis.
But I know how good Logan Mankins is.
But they would. We're not the ones doing it.
Maybe they would.
Yeah, I would hope that
they
would.
In a new scheme,
you
never know.
Yeah.
But they've brought guys in that have failed at other positions.
Sure.
They could fail at guard, too.
No, but
we know how good Logan Mankins is.
But they might have a plan, is what I'm saying. And maybe, you know, Damian Woody just got released. Now, I'm not saying
you'd sign
him,
but,
you know.
If we're to believe the reports that they had offered him a 7-year deal worth X million, or they were close before the season and then the apology got in the way, whatever. If that's the case, go the little bit of an extra mile. It's now
right.
a big need. Don't allow this over, even if it's over $10 million over 7 years.
Yeah.
That's a million and change a year. Don't allow a million and change a year to blow this up. It's a massive need.
But
right
but
now.
I'll tell you one thing. If I go back to him, if I'm the Patriots, I go back to Mankins, and I do go that extra mile, and he says, F you, just for the hell of it, because I want more, then I'm see you later.
Oh, yeah, you don't beg and
yeah,
grovel.
I'm not going to grovel.
No,
yeah.
I agree. But whatever their demands are, if it's the highest paid guard in football, why are you pointing?
Because, gas prices?
Well, before we had a big discussion about gas prices, and we said, why aren't they saying anything about the media? And on the news right now, they are.
It's about time, since it goes up every time I pass a gas station.
Ridiculous.
But
notice on Fox
football.
That they're discussing.
Yes. Fair and balanced.
Right? Yeah, right.
But what were we saying?
Mankins.
Yeah, I know.
I said I wouldn't grovel.
I wouldn't either, but if he wants to be the highest paid guard, I'll make him the highest paid guard.
Yeah, by
I'll
a little bit.
I'll give him
bit.
A dollar more
yeah,
than
exactly.
whatever.
Yeah.
A small raise yeah. over Jarry Evans.
Right.
$57 million over the next 8 years.
Yep.
But yeah, if he comes back and goes, no, I want $75 million, beat feet.
Right. So it's an issue. There's no doubt. You have to say that right now, offensive line has really, you know, you can argue it may not be number one priority over outside pass rusher or pass rush in general.
It's moving
but it's,
up,
it's
though.
It's moving up. It's,
the
it's,
reason I would say it's not, body-wise it probably is, but the reason I would say it's not is because we've seen this team and other teams make do with mid-round picks, veteran
yeah.
offensive journey.
But you got Tom
journey.
Brady back there.
We've never seen this team make do at outside linebacker. We
yeah.
know they need elite talent. They've tried to make do. They made do with Ninkovich and yeah. Vantakane, and it stunk.
Yeah. So, all right, so that's on the table, Stephen Neal's retirement and what happens with the offensive line now. This just in, do you want to talk to Stephen Neal? Sure, if he's willing to talk to us.
I say we just break into the conference call and start talking.
Jason just
talk over him.
Gave me a sign. So, yeah, sure, we'd love to talk to Stephen Neal if he has the time and willingness to talk to us. The other big news.
You know what's
yeah, go ahead.
Just about him. In some ways, he's a great sports story. 3 Super Bowl rings, never played college football, former wrestler. But in some ways, he's almost a tragedy of a football story. And if he were healthy, right. I think he'd be a multi-time Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah.
He was that good when healthy, just not healthy often enough and long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that so he's kind of both ends of the spectrum there.
Right.
Because I really do think he's very physically talented.
Yeah, a lot of people said when he's right, he is the best lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Mankins.
Well, Bill has even compared him to Mankins in
Bill
their
has
abilities.
Often said they're kind of interchangeable.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly is more athletic than Mankins,
yeah.
you know, former wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you love him.
Oh, sure.
Not only is he a former wrestler, he's got pretty big thighs, so Fred is just like madly in love.
You like men's
thighs? I don't know what he's talking about.
You never notice his running backs? Toby Gehrig, Jonathan Dwyer. No,
that's a good point.
I like
thighed men.
That's a good point.
Fred likes bah and bah.
Ever since I tried to tackle this kid in Pop Warner named Jamie Kirk in New Jersey and I bounced off his legs, he had legs like tree trunks. I've always respected the thigh.
A Pop Warner kid with legs like tree trunks.
Oh, he was.
Tape. I've always respected the
He was just bigger than everybody. You couldn't get your arms around his legs.
It's funny because he's fat.
He came in through the two gap and I was playing linebacker and I couldn't get him down. I think I might have cried, too.
He's going to get the kick out. Boom,
I think
right
you're
there.
Crying now.
All right. The other news on the table, of course, today is the deadline at midnight for the collective bargaining agreement. It's not something the owners have to choose to do, but this is the end of the league year. So they either extend the talks and kind of put off making big decisions or...
They could do what Congress did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Extend the deadline.
Do an extension because they're still talking, or the owner could say, yeah, what we've heard is not going to sway us. Even if we give it another 2 weeks, we're going to call a lockout.
The players
could decertify, which I'm still, I had a discussion with No Sock Smith from Kraft Sports Production and Paul last night. We were talking about what does that really mean? I'm still not really sure what the ramifications of decertification are.
They can sue. Right now they can't sue because they're a labor union. They're an entity.
Right.
If they decertify, they're no longer an entity, and they can file antitrust.
But that's the thing. If they're no longer an entity, who's suing?
You file on behalf of a plaintiff or plaintiffs.
It'll be Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Logan Manning. By all reports, Mankins and Brady could be on the
right.
Lawsuit.
So it'll be a class action suit?
Suit with named plaintiffs.
Okay.
And they would sue the league under antitrust. Right.
The players have to essentially choose between labor law and antitrust law. You don't get both. If you're a certified union and all that stuff, you fall under labor law. If you decertify, then you can fall under and sue under antitrust.
But by decertifying,
you lose the right to collective bargain.
And so you're vulnerable on certain levels,
too. It's a risk.
Right.
It certainly is a risk. But if they don't, if they don't decertify before the deadline, they can't do any of that sort of thing for 6 months, which is the other reason why they're pushing to do it before the deadline,
right?
Because there was a clause in the last CBA that guaranteed the 6 month buffer there.
And the owners may not be able to lock out. I mean, there's some confusion there. It'll go to a court. It'll be ruled upon, but there could be an injunction that would prevent a lockout, essentially.
Right.
And then it would just go up the court ladder, and it could take a while and money and all that.
I just want to know, when can we start signing free agents?
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly, if it goes to court, if they decertify.
It wouldn't be a bad thing if this kind of plays out, you have the draft, and then they start free agency after the draft. Because, when you think about it, right now the way it works, free agency starts before the draft, and, what you do in free agent could dictate what you do. But the free agent is really the bigger money spent.
Right.
So doesn't it make sense to get the draft done first and then have free agency?
So you're saying, set your foundation with – more
and,
value
and then
picks,
figure out what you need
then,
to spend money on,
it's just different. So,
yeah, it's different.
But I could see if it plays out this year and the owners and coaches or general managers see how that worked, that could be a permanent thing where they move up the draft. That's been talked about and have free agency start after.
Well,
the
only problem with that is the league year starts so early that you'd have all these free agents who'd be in limbo. They wouldn't have a team. They wouldn't have a club, a facility to work out in. That'd be a couple of months where they'd be sort of in the lurch.
Okay.
Plus, if no one signs him, I'd sue for collusion. If I become a free agent on March 1st and no one talks to me till April 29th. Hello, collusion.
Well, right now the draft is at the end of April, so you move the draft to mid-March. So there's a couple weeks of...
They would have to do something like
there's
that.
There's a dead period of a couple weeks. You have the draft, and then free agency starts April 1st.
I could see that.
You know?
I could see that, because the combine, you're fresh from the combine, you have your thoughts, you have a couple of weeks to maybe, you know,
some
set your board.
Right. Yeah. Everyone's on the same playing field, so don't bitch about it, you know? All right.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a good thing that comes out of this, is they see how it would be done if the draft came first.
I don't think it would make that big a deal.
Maybe not. I think as a GM, I'd like it that way better. I'd like to get my draft foundation done, then see what I need to spend in free agency. I just heard via Doc that Stephen Neal will, in fact, talk to us at about 12:30.
Okay.
So,
stunner.
Yeah, not exclusive, because he had already talked to the rest of the media. But for our listeners, a firsthand chat with Stephen Neal. So get your... I don't want to have to dominate the discussion, so get your questions ready.
He'll be with us before he'll be with the radio in the market.
We always have questions ready. You never let us ask them.
Well, can we decide now on what the signal will be if you have a question?
I'm going to unzip my pants and whip it out.
Oh, please, God, no.
That's a small signal.
Hey. Oh, very weak. But, you know, just, like, raise your hand.
Can we just nod? Or?
That's what she said.
Well, I don't know what like... nod means, because your head's so heavy, it goes tends to nod anyway. So just let me know in some way that is, you know, obvious.
How about we throw something at you?
Or you could just say, I have a question.
Steven, I've been wanting to ask you for the last 20 minutes.
As Fred steps on your question.
Yeah.
So,
and you're not going to ask him about his singlet or anything, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, I know you have an infatuation with wrestlers.
I don't have a. I
As
was
a former
a wrestler.
Wrestler yourself.
I'm not infatuated with them.
Yeah, let's hope Fred doesn't go all Victor Green on us and keep reminding him how he used to have a career as a wrestler.
I think the sport of wrestling is one of the purest competitions around. And, you know, if you want to get in shape, wrestling practice is the way to do it. All these other sports don't know how to get in shape.
You run the risk of getting that cotton ear thing, though, don't you?
Cauliflower ear.
Cauliflower ear? Whatever it's called.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you know, you have the headgear, but a lot of guys don't wear it in practice. Or, you know.
Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, it's you're constantly getting, because you don't have any bone in your ear. It's all cartilage. Mm-hmm. So the constant rubbing up against it kind of just distorts the cartilage. The same thing with like a boxer. Boxers get cauliflower ear and noses from getting just it bashed in all the time. It loses its shape, basically, is what happens. Just loses its shape.
But it looks like it's all swollen.
I think it reforms.
It reforms. It's like it almost looks like clay that someone has squished together.
That's gross.
And for some guys I've seen, it's so smashed in that you don't even see where the ear hole is. I mean, they can hear, but, you know.
Do they lose hearing?
No, boxers might because of the pounding. But this is more of just a friction type of thing. It's just a rubbing. Against the cartilage that it loses its shape.
And he can't help but giggle over there.
I can't. Oh, you know, you see some of the wrestlers that did it a long time, they just...
Do you have it? I never noticed.
No, I didn't wrestle that long. Just a couple years in college. So,
oh, college.
Not even a real college.
Well, we wrestled
BU. It was
BU.
An experiment.
We wrestled BU, BC, Harvard, Northeastern.
Didn't you wrestle like in a classroom or something?
No.
I have a gym.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that's what you told me.
We wrestled at the YMCU, Young Men's Christian Union, on Tremont Street.
Is that a competitor to the YMCA?
Yeah, YMCU.
Really?
Yeah, Christian Union.
And that's different from the A?
Yeah, it is different.
Really?
Yeah.
I had never...
Yeah.
Is he pulling the wool over
our
eyes?
No, I swear to God, it's an old place on Tremont. I mean, we're talking Spartan.
Something.
We're talking, like, you know, the ropes hanging from the ceiling to do the ropes and the medicine balls and, you know... That whole thing.
YMCU never cut on. YMCU.
I almost got mug going home once. It was just where the red light district, the combat zone, used to be involved, right on the edge of it. And a lot of people would hang out in the alleys, and if they saw a single person walking down the street, they'd mug them.
But you put them in a half Nelson and you were
fine. No, I sensed this guy, like, behind me, and I sped up, and I got to the intersection where there were more
Eric
people.
Eric put guys behind him, too. But a single person in a singlet, that's a different story.
Well, I didn't walk there. If you walk around in your singlet, you deserve to be mugged.
No, but they'd be afraid to. They're like, who's this nut walking around in a singlet? I'm not going to touch
it's
him.
A little off.
But anyway, all right, so that's
YMCU.
Anything else you got? We got Stephen Neal, we got CBA.
Reportedly, Benny Green Ellis has been tendered.
Okay. You know, if tenders are valid.
If tenders are valid, a second round offer worth about $2 million.
Okay, good for him.
Which is what we kind of expected.
Yeah. Now, Paul is at the Children's Hospital with some players. Who's there with him?
Gronkowski, Mayo, Chung.
Baden?
Baden.
Wow.
And one other.
There's one other.
So we should be...
Ninkovich.
We should be on the alert for Perillo tweets.
Tweets and updates and blogs, and he may even call in.
Question is, will he remember to tweet? Do you think he will?
No.
I mean, he did when he was with Ron Brace. He had a pretty good nugget with Ron Brace.
Okay,
so
maybe.
We'll see.
Are you guys going to tweet during your conversation with Stephen Neal at 12:30 like some of the reporters like to do?
No, because you know what? That's
be here.
I have a little bit of a beef with that because if you're in the middle of an interview,
Twitter though.
If you're in the middle of an interview, that's actually not a bad idea.
I did,
but focus should be on the person that you're interviewing.
Well, that's a good point, Eric, because over the summer we had Adam Schefter here on the show.
And all he did was tweet.
And, you know, he's very good at it by, you know, keeping engaged but still doing that. But it's a little bit disrespectful.
It's off-putting, and I think you do miss stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, as good as you could be at multitasking, you miss some of the conversation when you're
if you agree to sit down for 10 minutes to do an interview, you know, like you to... You know,
and I realize that there's competition among reporters, but if you're all there together, you all have the info at the same time. It's like when we go out to practice, we're under the restriction that you can't report on anything until we have our, the end of our session there with the 15, 20 minutes that we get. So all the reporters, they collect their information as they go and then they wait to hit send. I mean, just wait till the interview's done and then send the information out, because if the person says something even more consequential that you sort of half missed because you're too busy tweeting something they said before, now you're, you know, you have, it's just, it seems just too sloppy to me. Wait a few minutes. People can wait a few minutes for the information.
Christopher writes in, seriously, about Mankins, we better make him the highest paid guard in the game. We have the highest paid quarterback in the game. Frankly, I want Mankins on our team. He's now required. I don't want anyone else protecting the highest paid quarterback in the NFL from the safety blitz and what he brings to our offensive line allowed law firm to hit 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. Dan Connolly would be a decent fill-in for Neal, but I really think it would be to our advantage to draft a guard and a tackle in the second and third rounds. And will Nick Kazier be staying in New England? Well, Kazier's been released, so unless he wants to take a pay cut.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't been released?
No.
Oh, that was just a report?
Yes. If he doesn't take a pay cut, he could be released.
I thought that was a done deal.
Well, it may be, but it hasn't been. It's not official. He was a source from his end, kind of. He was asked to take a pay cut and is not interested, so it sounds like he could be cut. But that is not official.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Nick Kazier, as of right now, as of last check, was on the New England Patriots roster.
Okay.
Paul Perillo has already tweeted.
There you go.
Hey, Paulie.
From Children's Hospital. No lockout worries today for Chung, Baden, Gronk, Mayo, and Ninkovich. That was the tweet.
That's it?
No worries?
What does that mean? If you didn't know that they were all together at Children's Hospital, what would that tweet mean to you?
I mean, the next line was at Children's Hospital visiting with some
kids. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh,
I said that.
All right. I didn't hear him say that.
You should listen.
Did you hear him say that?
Yes, I did.
You have trouble listening, huh?
He must have been tweeting.
And by the way, Tom Brady's not going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Not for long.
Not for long.
He is now, but...
Right, but he's not going to be.
Yeah, I guess the word is that
actually, technically right now he's not even, I don't think.
Because
Vic may have passed him, right? Or no?
No, I don't think so. But
contract's pretty big, isn't it?
From word out of Indy is that they're making progress out of on that Manning deal, so we'll see.
Yeah, and the word was it was going to be north of $20 million a year.
I want to hear that they're making progress on the labor deal.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, so don't listen.
I had a good feeling yesterday.
And you don't now?
No, I do. I think there'll be an extension, and like I said, I think that we'll see free agency by May 1st, which if that happens, you know, in other words, resumption of the league year.
Hectic. That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be as bad.
Right.
It would be bad because you're still missing some of the offseason, but it wouldn't be as bad.
Right. So that's my gut.
From a preparation standpoint, at least.
Your gut carries a lot of weight around here.
I'm working on it.
Are you?
I'm not
feeling so good about
that. I work out.
I didn't get that tone from a lot of people. Ron Borgia certainly didn't give that tone with his overview. He was very, very negative tone.
The player, Al Davis.
Well, okay. When isn't he negative?
I don't know.
Consider the source.
When he, wow.
His source is, you know, here's the problem. You know, the players aren't allowed to say anything. Owners aren't allowed to say anything right now. But they can say things to Ron Borges anonymously. They, you know, they're, if I was a player, I'd be feeling pretty negative about this. And that's what I'd be telling Ron, and that's what where he's getting it from.
Okay, if he's right and it gets ugly, they decertify and all that. And reports are accurate, and both Tom Brady and Logan Mankins were named in a lawsuit, were the plaintiffs. Is that what it's called, plaintiff?
Yep. Yes.
Is that a worrisome issue for Patriots fans? Could that lead to any ill will, negative anything?
Well, you have to understand what that really means. Now, first of all, I don't know, but would they have to agree to be named
as
players?
Yeah. Yeah,
they've
yes.
been the report is they've been asked to be included in name in the, you know, I think they want to get Breeze, Manning, Brady, first of all, the three big quarterbacks, and then the news today was that Mankins has also
See, I could see Breeze doing it cuz he's been involved in going to these meetings.
Oh,
right?
I think Manning and Breeze, there's a good chance they'll be on it. The question is, will the two Patriots be on it, and what would that mean?
Yeah, but it's for Manning, though, even Breeze, but, you know, Manning's about to sign a contract that is the highest contract in the history of the NFL.
Right.
Yet he's going to be part of suing the league that gave him that money. I just find it ridiculous. I just find it absolutely ridiculous. Well,
not, the NFL just had its highest-rated season ever, and yet the owners are going to lock out the players that made it the greatest season ever.
I'm not saying
I find that,
that
ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, you can argue either side.
Absolutely, you can.
So ridiculous.
Absolutely, you can.
If you take him for what he is, or for what you would hope the idea is he's fighting for, I'll say it again, Kyle Love, his brethren in the union. We stand in solidarity. Just because I'm getting my money doesn't mean I don't want you to get yours, right? I mean, that's what the image that you want to portray is.
Yeah. The whole solidarity issue, yeah.
But, now, and hopefully they'll avoid last time when the quarterbacks were kind of trying to cut their own deals on the side.
But your question was, is this problematic for Patriots fans?
Yes.
I think we have to look at it in its context and what it really means. And so my answer is no, it shouldn't be, because we should just look at it. This is just business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that Peyton Manning hates the Colts or hates the league. It doesn't mean that Tom Brady hates the Patriots or hates the league. This is just business. It's a formality. They need names on there. Obviously, they want the highest profile names on the suit to give it the most publicity and weight that they can. But if Kyle Love was on that, you know, suit instead of, it would have no difference in court. It would have no difference in court.
Right.
It's just the court of public opinion.
Of course. Right. Of course. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't know how things get kind of. I never know back room how these things are perceived and if it causes issues down the road. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, would that be the final nail in the Mankins has done in New England coffin? I don't know. I'd like to think not. I'd like to think it's business
he's just a high profile. If I can understand it is, and I'm, you know me,
I want
my football. I want my NFL. If
you're
I can,
not personally involved.
I am personally. We're all
not
personally
with Logan
involved.
Mankins.
No. But we're personally involved with the situation.
Yes, but I'm saying, is there any chance that Robert Kraft is unhappy that Logan Mankins or Tom Brady put their name in a lawsuit?
I don't think so. I think they understand the pressures that they're under. Imagine if they had said no, if they're asked and say no.
Well, we don't know that
that they've said yes.
Yeah,
it's
we
just
don't.
They've been asked, reportedly.
But, I mean, to say no would be, I might as well just recuse myself from the whole situation.
Well, you could, you know? I mean,
I'll
Brady,
be surprised if Brady's on there.
I will, too, because Brady can make the case, look, I can't bite the hand that feeds me. I just signed this humongous deal.
I know, but
it would look hypocritical of me.
How can you call yourself assistant player rep and not and say no to that? You know?
Well,
that's kind of the situation we knew he might get in when we heard he was a player rep.
But he was named a player rep before he signed his deal, too.
Regardless, we knew that there was an upcoming negotiation that were going to happen. And, you know, wow, all of a sudden he's a player rep. That's interesting. We all said
that. He started making comments.
Yeah.
From the viewpoint of the
back
player
in training
side.
Camp.
Yes.
Right. Back in training camp. So
I don't think it's a big deal. I'm just wondering.
I think it's business. It's
and for Brady, it's
procedure.
Less of a big deal because he may have signed his last big contract here. I mean, it may have nothing to do with it. He's got 4 years left at the highest paid quarterback right now in football, whereas Mankins is still an issue. He's not signed. He's
right.
All I know is that everybody's eating except me.
You ordered food. You're going to have the best food available.
I did?
Oh.
Just tell me what you want, and I'll order it for you.
Oh, I thought you already did.
No, because he said he had food.
Oh.
All right, let's take a break.
Work on your gut. Don't eat.
I need to sort out my blood sugar, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Patriots, PFW in Progress!
Alright, back here in PFW in Progress. Eric, Andy, I'm here. Doc's in the booth. Kevin's on jury duty. He might get sequestered. His luck. You never know. He could be out for a while.
Well, he also could get beat up. He's tweeting out of it, like, in the ghetto court. Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's been tweeting from
there.
I don't think that's...
Isn't tweeting frowned upon when you're jury duty?
I would imagine,
I hope he gets his ass kicked.
I can see him. This guy's guilty as hell.
Remember that whole conversation we had earlier about paying attention to the interviews?
Right.
When the lawyers and the prosecution and the defendants are talking, listen.
He's not the brightest bulb on the
train. Paul's at Children's Hospital with a bevy of Patriots. Maybe their last stint.
An FYI, I tweeted that Neil would be on at 12:30 on PFW in Progress. It was retweeted by Real Patriots with the little addition 12:30 or immediately after his conference call. So that's not a hard and fast time, that 12:30.
Patriots.com hits you too.
Usually isn't. With
So that's still going on, that conference call, I take
yes.
it?
Yes. And I got to pass along, Warren Ladd would like me to let Neil know that he has fans from the UK fan club that wish him all the best in his retirement and thank him for his service.
Okay.
Eric, are you going to thank him for his service?
I don't believe he was in the military, so no.
Well, he had service here.
Yeah, that's different.
Men of PFW, says Giovanni, I agree with Andy. Wrestling stinks, and so does the cotton ear that comes with it.
That's picking up theme.
Cotton ear in quotes. But it sure is cool to know that Stephen Neal has kicked Brock Lesnar's ass at one time. Anyway, I agree with the talk about having an earlier draft, as after the draft you can assess what you need and address it through free agency. Few interesting things to look on NFL.com. Surprising, because NFL.com usually sucks. There's an interesting video where the McCourty brothers are talking with the NFL crew about the college pro transition, which is pretty funny. Also, the NFL has officially added Vernon Gulston to their biggest draft busts ever list. The owners need to stop acting like pussies and get their
Did he write it that way?
Yeah, and get their acts together so we can see some freaking football next year. And by the way, I did my patriotic duty and emailed the Pats front office and praised you guys more than I wanted to. Thank you.
More than
but
you
hey,
wanted
it might
to.
Be worth
what do you
it.
Mean?
Derek of U of A can vouch for me when I say that Arizona sports radio shows down here, like Doug and Wolf, suck beyond belief. Jets are trash. Andy is awesome. Ken Walter rocks. That's Giovanni from Chandler, Arizona.
Pretty much our best emailer, I'd have to say.
Oh, okay. Until he says something bad about you.
Exactly. Then I'll call him a douche.
Let's see.
Yeah, I would have to say that Golston goes down as, I mean, the guy still does not have an NFL sack, right?
I thought he dropped it.
Pretty
in
damning.
Jets training camp.
Yeah, supposedly they dropped before our eyes, but they didn't.
Right.
So,
a different kind of sack.
I mean, you're talking about a guy 6th overall pick, I believe.
Yeah.
Not a career sack ever. I mean, go down the list over the last few years, just people that have had sacks for the Patriots.
Right, they just fall on a guy on accident.
Every linebacker, you get in the area, you get the Roosevelt Colvin where the guy falls down and you're the first guy there to tap him.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he never got that.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
So, Ryan Leaf is obviously... will be
number one
for a long time.
Yeah.
Tony Mandrich.
Tony Mandrich. In the conversation.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Todd Marinovich.
I mean, he's
he drafted high?
First round.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little lower. I mean, the other guys get it because they were the number one overall pick. You could have any player of your choosing, and you chose them.
Now, Rick Meyer was number two overall, but he had a long career.
He had a long career.
Yeah.
And they didn't screw that up. Had they taken him one overall, it would be looked upon differently, I think, because he was never good as the next guy.
Right. Mandrich was... two, though, wasn't he?
Tony Mandrich? He was up there.
Yeah, he was like top two or three, right?
So Golston is a little further down.
You know, another guy, he's had a good career, but not what people thought. Robert Gallery of the Raiders, you know?
I mean, he's a solid guard.
He was a blue-chip lineman.
Bill Belichick raved about him at the Combine that year. Like, can't-miss prospect.
Right.
But if you're starting in the league, no matter where you're drafted, you can't really be called a bust.
I mean, Golston was going to be cut last year, but he redid his deal. So, I mean, but the guy never played for the
Jets. Yeah, no, that's a bust. That's certainly
that's
the definition
Dolly
of a bust.
Dolly Parton-esque.
Yes.
Now, if he, let's say he signs here, just for sake of argument.
Hopefully.
Goes on to have a great year. He could get comeback player of the year, perhaps, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Given
But what did he come back from?
Well, that's
sucking.
That's the thing.
No, but he was never good.
You don't have to be good.
Yes.
Mike Williams got a ton of vote. LeGarrette Blount got
last
year as a rookie.
In my mind, in order to come back from sucking, you had to have been good at one time.
Well, that's not how it's voted
about. Well, that's in my mind, I said.
You don't get to pick it. You don't even have a single vote. Whatever goes on in your mind is irrelevant.
we got him? All right, so as promised on PFW in Progress, we have Stephen Neal. Stephen, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So, first of all, congratulations, I guess, on retiring, but at the same time, we're sad to see you go. What was the main thing that you said this year, you know what, that's it?
I had another surgery, obviously, this during the middle of the season, and talking to the doctors, talking to the training staff and the coaching staff, it was just time to go. If I injure myself anymore, it's probably not a very good likelihood I can have a pretty pain-free existence. So I decided this is the best time to head out. My kids are starting to grow up and transferring schools from one side of the country to the other is another factor.
Yep.
So it was the perfect time to walk away and. Definitely will miss being out there in New England for football season, going to the home games and having the Patriots shooting guns and the crowd team, the home crowd just cheering everybody on. It's going to be something I'll definitely miss, though.
Andy Hart has a question. Andy, go ahead.
Steven, right. Thank you, Fred, for the introduction. Steven, I wonder, when you look back on it, and you're now retired, so I guess this is the time somewhat athletically that you look back on your career, do you still feel like you were a wrestler who played in the NFL, or do you retire as, I was an NFL player, I was a football player?
I'd like to think of myself as both. You know, actually, it's kind of funny. I talk to some guys, and they're asking, what are you going to do next, baseball, basketball? And, it's kind of funny. But, you know, I really love sport. I love competition. And football was my true love. I just, you know, I was 6'4", 215 pounds, graduated high school at 17 years old. Didn't have an opportunity to play football. So I went to college. I wrestled. I attacked that challenge. And I started to develop and grow. I was a late bloomer. And you know, once I got to my size, I was very athletic. And that's what gave me the success for wrestling. All the real athletic guys are playing football. So I was able to mop up the heavyweights up there. And then I got the shot to play football. And I was so fortunate to be in the right situation at the right time and to stick around here and be part of such a great organization. I was just very fortunate.
Eric Scalavino has a question.
Steven, and it's probably a little early for this, but have you given any thought to what you might want to do now?
Well, I just got off the phone earlier, and I was telling people once these interviews are done, I have to start cleaning the floor and doing the laundry with my wife. So I'm going to hopefully talk as long as I can. No, you know what? I haven't really thought too much about it. My wife, she has all of her credentials for teaching in California. It's a tough gig right now with this economy, mm-hmm. and you don't want to take the money out of someone's hands that really needs it for survival. So I'll probably just kick back and try to just kind of encourage the sport of wrestling out here in California. Programs are dropping left and right, and I really want the sport of wrestling to stick around because it's a sport that changed my life completely. I didn't start wrestling until ninth grade. I did it on a challenge. A kid challenged me. It was tougher than football. I didn't believe him. And so I started wrestling, and I quickly realized it's a pretty extreme sport. And so I'd like for that opportunity to be available for kids in California at the college level, at the high school level, at all levels. So I think I might kind of go around and just really try to promote the sport of wrestling as much as I can and try to get people to support it in any way possible. So I think that'll be my next challenge the next year or two before I settle into something.
So if we challenge you right now and dare you to go into UFC, could we push you in that direction? Because we'd love to go see you kick some butt on UFC.
You know what? You could challenge me, but I think my wife might challenge me otherwise. So she's already told me. She told me early on, too, that I wasn't allowed to try. But I mean, I love that sport. It's so technical now. It's not like it used to be where it's just – it's still brutal, but it's not as brutal as it once was. I think it's definitely a skill sport. And just watching the moves, and you can – you know, if you're knowledgeable about the sport, you can see moves happening before they happen, and it's really exciting to
yeah, I agree. You know, I did a little bit of wrestling, and it's one of the purest, I think, competitions out there when it comes to sports. It's
yeah.
pure. It's so pure.
You can't blame anyone but yourself.
That's right. When you look back at your career, you know, you had injuries throughout. I think at one time Bill Belichick might have said you were the best offensive lineman on this team. Do you look back at the same time you had unbelievable success with your teammates? Do you look back at your career saying, you know what, I am completely satisfied with what I did? Or do you have that little kind of thing in the back of your head said, man, if I just didn't have those nagging injuries, I could have been even better than I was? How do you leave the game mentally?
Well, to be honest with you, my attitude is always, I might not win every time, but I'm going to give my best effort on every play, and I think I did that. And because I did that, I might have had some extra injuries that I could have protected maybe a little bit better, but I gave everything I could to this game. I put the team first. I worked hard. I tried to do my job on every play. So I can walk away with my head held high and proud to be, you know, a member of the Patriots and have be a member of those three championship teams, even though I only played in the one Super Bowl win because I was hurt 1 year and I was – just learned the game my first year. That was a pretty awesome experience, too. But like I said, I played every down as hard as I could, and I think all my teammates respect me for that, and the coaching staff understands where I come from. You know, if I make a mistake, I make a mistake, but it's a 100 miles an hour mistake. So I can walk away with my head held high, and I'm just I wish I could keep playing forever and be around this young group of guys that are coming in with so much talent. I'd love to see that develop, but I'll watch it here in California when you guys are freezing. And I'll enjoy it out here.
Right.
Okay, now that he can't seek retribution on the football field, tell us what it's really like to play for Dante Scarnecchia and give us your best Scar story from your career here.
Oh, man. You know what? Dante is probably one of the greatest coaches I've ever been associated with, just because he expects a Pro Bowl effort on every play from every player. It doesn't matter if you're your first year, if you got brought in the week before, you're expected to do your job no matter what, and he puts the time in to get you ready. So, I mean, the way I look at it, you have Coach Belichick and you have Dante Scarnecchia, all the coaches, they come in, they're in that building at like 3 or 4 in the morning every day, and they don't leave till 11 or 12 at night. So if they're putting all this time in and then they feel that a player isn't putting that time in, they're going to be very frustrated, which I would be too. You know, it's that important to them. It should be that important to every player on the team. So there might be a couple words said that, you know, you're on the battlefield and things get going a little sideways. And, you know, we're not friends out there. But when it comes down to it, he cares about winning and losing. And he wants you to put as much time and effort in as he's putting in. And if he's spending time away from his family, which is precious to him, he expects you to do the same. So I have nothing but respect for him, for all the coaches. And as far as a good story, oh, man, you know what? There's a lot of good stories, especially, you know, got Matt Light in there. He's a prankster. So one time he exchanged the, and I'm pretty sure he knows it's Matt, so I hope I'm not selling him out, but he exchanged the remote control for a different one that had a buzzer on it. And shocked it. So Dante was looking for the laser pointer, and yeah, not only got himself once, but he's determined, so he got himself twice.
That's good.
I think I got blamed for it. I was like, "Come on, I'm not that smart." But it was pretty good.
That's good. Hey, before we let you go, I heard that on your conference call, you mentioned something about a kid at Stop and Shop. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, Chris, man, he's my go-to guy. He is probably one of the most knowledgeable football fans in New England. I talk to him every time I go in there. Which I go in there a lot. You know, I was offensive lineman. I like to do a lot of shopping for myself. So I go in there and I see Chris Robertson, shoot almost every time. He sits there and we always chat and he helps out with everything. And he's always asking about Wes's knee and everything. And I said, he's looking pretty good. So Chris is a great guy. And if he's listening, what's up, Chris? I'm going to miss you. Miss talking to you. But yeah, he's an awesome guy. And I'm a better person for knowing him. So.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, on our show, we, you know, it's online, so we have people all over the world that listen and are listening now, and emails are coming in, and they're all saying the same thing, Stephen, you know, wishing you the best of luck, thanking you for everything you did as a Patriot. You know, you made the team better by being part of it, and, you know, that feeling is shared by us, too, on the show. Good luck with everything you do. Don't be a stranger. Anytime you want to pop on Patriots.com, give us a call, find out what's going on. You know, we'd love to have you.
Well, thank you guys so much, and I also want to thank you for my family. Being out in California, they don't have the coverage that they do, and so they always were able to follow me every training camp, every season, when they weren't in contact with me through you guys. So thank you guys so much.
All right,
our
Stephen
pleasure.
Neal,
it's been a
good
pleasure,
luck. Season. And good luck with everything you do. That's Stephen Neal here on Patriots.com and PFW in Progress. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I knew you...
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to get a word in. Call the PFW Boys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
That was Stephen Neal before the break. We had him on PFW Progress, and we all wish him the best of luck. Bill Belichick has come out with a statement, and he says they don't come any better than Stephen Neal. In terms of improvement and development as a player, Steve may have accomplished more than any player I have ever been around. His toughness, intelligence, and competitiveness were at rare levels and contributed to him going from being a champion in an individual sport to being an integral part of a championship team, or championship teams, I should say. I congratulate Steve for an incredible career and thank him for everything he did for me personally, our team, and organization.
Okay.
It's a good statement.
So that's Bill Belichick.
And you know what I get back to, and you kind of asked him about it, the tragedy versus great success story, is the play in 2002. His first NFL start, there's a lateral ball that no one else goes for. He dives on it. The wrestler, the idiot who's just off the mat, makes the heady play,
yep.
And he misses the next year and a half of football because he has to have shoulder surgery. It was like this,
yeah.
This high and low. It's
he never
so
really
dramatic.
But, you know, he did. I mean, I remember when they drafted him, specifically, we had Brian College, I think.
They didn't draft him. They signed him.
Well, I mean, they signed him, and he was
Brian
this
College.
Guy,
yep.
You know, he'd never played football.
Except for high school.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, it's almost like Castle, but at least Castle was at a practice in college.
And
you know?
It was, I believe the connection is his agent was Bill Belichick's advisor, I believe. Right? Neil Kornreich was his agent, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was the connection.
And Kornreich had some dealings with Bill Belichick. I don't know if he's technically his agent, whatever. But, you know, and I'm sure he said, you know, would you give this guy a chance? And Bill says, yeah. And could have been anybody.
Yep.
And he left. He went to the Eagles and came back. I mean,
yeah.
It's truly one of the great stories of our time in the last 10 years. You know, there's many with this team. But, I mean, the guy was a three-time Super Bowl champion, including two of which he really earned. The first one, he was inactive. But an integral part, as Bill said, of those offensive lines.
The Cowboys used to be very big on trying to take players from other sports who hadn't played football and trying to turn them into athletes, you know, football players.
And it worked for some of them.
And it worked for some of them.
Hayes was a sprinter, right?
Bullet Bob Hayes. But Neil, I think,
bring that rugby player, the one word rugby player who was great. They had signed, but then he got hurt or they wanted him. There was something there.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. But like
Troy Aikman was an interior designer, right?
Is that a sport?
Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric, Andy, myself, Doc, Paul's at Children's Hospital. We just spoke with Stephen Neal. We mentioned earlier we're talking about the CBA. The deadline is tonight at midnight
My thinking is, and of course it's just speculation, I don't have any inside knowledge, I want to preface that, that they'll do an extension, that they'll find reason to keep talking. And so I'm hoping that's the case.
When do you think we'll find that out?
Before midnight.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like 11, literally the 11th hour?
No,
or?
No, probably end of business day,
yeah.
You know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. Or as in Paul's case, 2 o'clock, because it's end of business day.
Well, yeah.
So 508-543-7422 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Hey, Freddie.
Got a lot of emails. What?
Pro Football Talk is reporting that there should be a press release this afternoon from the NFL about the status of their talks.
Huh. Okay. This afternoon. Early, late, mid?
Does that smell like an extension?
I'd love it to be if it was a,
if it was a joint statement.
Exactly. I'd love them to say there's going to be a joint one. But maybe they decided each to do their own, and I don't know.
Further in the Pro Football Talk article, there's an update from Jason LaCanfora.
Yeah.
Reporting that the NFL is prepared to reveal more financial data during today's session.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, there you go. Well, that's progress.
Yes.
That is certainly progress. You know, because I don't want to get into it. You know, I think people get upset when we talk too much CBA.
We have to, though. That's the biggest story this offseason.
It is the biggest story, but there are other things to talk about. And a lot of our emails, all of our emails
really
have things to do other than CBA. So we're email-driven on this show, so we should probably respect that.
And he's not paying attention. He's tweeting over
email-driven, we should probably respect that. So read an email.
Okay. Let's see. Brian Zukowski writes about the CBA. Bill Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in, yeah, I know, ignoring the draft and the CBA and everything to say, oh, my God, did you see Tom Brady's hair? I just saw a PSA for some charity called Best Buddies. Tom Brady's in it, and he got a haircut.
Are you sure it's
really?
Right. It could be an old one that he shot 2 years ago.
Because he's been involved with them for
right.
a while now.
I went on. Okay. He says, I went on YouTube and found old PSAs for Best Buddies he made in 2009. It's an old commercial. Is it an old commercial? Are you the source for Patriots hairstyling news? No, it's probably an old commercial. This was written on Wednesday. If the owners and players did not reach a new CBA, I miss Andy and Eric. Their draft coverage was awesome. If they did reach an agreement on the new CBA, Andy and Eric are marginally competent. Seriously, is there a contingency plan for Big Head and the pompous one? Even if it is writing for the UFL, Patriots lead by Brian Hoyer? I don't know. There's always a part of Bill Berry's email that just I just can't make any sense of.
No,
we're here. I mean, lockout or no, we are here.
But feel free to send an email to the front office saying make sure PFW is here.
Yeah.
We need our PFW, PFW in progress, patriots.com,
right.
The blog, the Twitter. We're everywhere.
Did you say the Twitter?
The Twitter.
Sean from Canada says, hey, guys, my buddy and I got into a big argument the other day about who's the better coach, who's been the better coach the past two seasons between Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick. I argued that Bill is a much better coach because he's coordinated a rookie defense and led them to a 10-6 and 14-2 season. Bill has done more with less. However, my friend said that in the past 2 years, Rex Ryan has gotten to the AFC Championship and outcoached Bill Belichick on his route to one of the AFC Championships. Bill has been a great regular season coach until a one-and-done playoff, opposed to a good regular season coach that can make a run in the playoffs. What do you guys think about this?
Being a jackass.
Regular season, it's Belichick, and postseason
it's Ryan. Yeah,
I don't really think it's debatable.
Yeah.
I mean, because one of the Ryan victories was head-to-head against Bill.
Yep.
Bill's other loss was an embarrassing blowout in which the owner said, what could we have done?
Well,
a good game plan.
It's always, though, that old question, what if they switch teams? Who would do better?
What do you want me to tell you?
You know, would Belichick have brought that team that got to the AFC Championship to the Super Bowl, and would Ryan have won the AFC East with the Patriots as they're constituted?
That's just going by what I've seen, and what I've seen was, in the regular season, you cannot argue Belichick, because last year in the regular season, tremendous.
Right.
What he did to win 14 games with that roster of young talent, turned it over, everything, the post-Moss trade, tremendous.
Yeah,
But they've fallen on their face in the postseason 2 years in a row.
I think there was a good reason why Belichick was named Coach of the Year this year, because of all those things you just mentioned. young roster. The Moss move cannot be underestimated.
Nope.
I mean, that's a momentous move for any team. When you take a guy like that and you make a decision after week three, that's a huge decision for any coach.
I would include, by the way, Bill O'Brien in there for the positive results in the post-Moss offense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had to go through a major
change.
But
I'm just talking about making that decision.
No, I know.
That's a ballsy move.
Of course.
Big-time ballsy.
Yeah.
Big-time.
And those awards are all given out based on regular season performance.
Right.
So
which is what I was going to say. If Fred got his way,
you would include
then he
the
may
postseason.
Not have been the
that's
coach
right.
of the year.
That's right.
Right. You can't overlook one and done. When right. you're the number one seed, in you know, you're not supposed to lose that first game.
No. Nope.
You know? So you can't overlook that.
And by the way, the Rex Ryan thing, I give him credit for Mark Sanchez. I mean, he's done it with a rookie and then second-year quarterback.
Right.
Two straight trips to the AFC title game. I don't overlook that.
Or
he had a lot
of
turnover. He had a lot of guys, you know, everybody was mocking them for collecting talent and bringing on Cromartie and bringing on Tomlinson and Braylon Edwards and all these guys. He's managed it. However you want to critique it, he's managed it.
Here's, though, where if you might look back in a few years and say it wasn't good because, you know, if they don't eventually win within the next few years, how have they also done that fine line of playing for this year but also looking to the future?
No, well, I'm talking about coaching. I'm not talking about GM.
Well, yeah,
you've kind of delved into
I know, that's
GM.
Fair.
Even with the Moss deal,
yeah, that's
Bill
fair.
The GM.
That's fair.
I'm talking coaching.
Okay.
I mean, it would have shocked the world had they won the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback named Mark Sanchez, whose college coach said he wasn't ready to play in the NFL.
Shocked the world. Wouldn't have shocked Rex Ryan.
No, but it would have shocked the world.
Yeah.
So to look back in 3 years and say, well, they never won, well, you didn't think they should have because they had a quarterback whose college coach said,
I didn't,
stay in school.
They were up there in terms of odds. To win it.
This year or last year? I'm talking
this
about
year.
The first trip to the AFC title game.
No, that was a shock.
So let's not pretend that Mark Sanchez, everybody loves him and he's a franchise quarterback. There's been a lot of questions about Mark Sanchez and his leadership ability.
No,
and I don't care how good your
defense
is.
I think you're fair. I think,
hard to win Super
I think my scenario, the criticism wouldn't be Rex Ryan. It would be Tannenbaum and Woody Johnson.
Right. And we talked about it at the draft. Tannenbaum said, philosophically, I'm about quality, not quantity when it comes to the draft. He flat out said it, and it's proven in what he does.
Sure.
He trades up for Sanchez. He trades up for – did they trade up for Golson? I don't know.
Yeah.
Traded up for Harris, traded up for Darrell Revis.
They've made a lot of trades.
They go get their guy.
Right.
They're okay coming away from the draft with three, four
which
players.
Which means you have to do more in free agency, which is what they've done.
Somewhat. Not necessarily. If you hit all those and those
hit
the stars
them,
of your team, then you're simply augmenting a roster.
Mm-hmm.
You're just filling in the holes. Right? I mean, if you hit on those, and the only one they've really swung and missed on is Golston. That was a bad pick. I told them that, but they didn't listen.
They didn't listen to you?
Go get Quinny.
Johnny from Leeds, England, says, hey, guys, which includes Eric, the very talented reporter he is. The mock draft, which has been suggested, is a brilliant idea. We talked about a listener mock draft.
Mm.
But there's no way we could do it internationally.
Brilliant!
As much as I would love to take part in this via the phone to trade drafts, etc., if I told my wife my phone bill was so high because I was playing mock drafts with my buddies in the U.S., I no longer think my manhood would be intact.
Oh.
So,
Skype is
you'd be like Eric.
Could we do it in a Kirschwords format, whilst still being on the show? It's just a suggestion, but it would be ace if I could get involved if you thought me worthy.
Couldn't we do it by Twitter?
What about email or tweet or something like that?
No, but his point is maybe we could supplement the show with some type of live, either Twitter or, you know, what I do during the, I think it's called.
During
cover
the games?
It live.
Yeah. Do it live.
We could do that.
The Kirschwords.
So, but the key is.
We'll do it live. Do it live.
Assigning ahead of time who's doing what pick.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Well, the producers can handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, my thought,
could be disastrous.
Johnny says, my thoughts on our first four draft picks would be, according to the Pats, Pat Kerwin, Brian Hoyer could command high trade value to Arizona. So how about trading for a second rounder? No way. I don't think anybody would give a second rounder.
Second
for
rounder
Hoyer.
For an undrafted rookie free agent?
Did you say no way or
even
no
Castle
way?
Had a year at 11-5.
Well, but ease off because there was the franchise number contract issue. Hoyer doesn't face some of those issues, the financial.
Yeah,
issues.
But he's not going to get a set. You're not going to.
No,
you'd be
get
lucky to get
pick.
Fourth rounder for Hoyer. I think.
I would agree.
I think you. Yeah.
Fourth round, maybe. I don't know what the. Maybe people think higher of Brian Hoyer than I do. I don't see him as a a starting quarterback in the National Football
League. And if you do that, then you definitely have to sign a veteran free agent and probably draft a quarterback.
Devlin.
Anyway, Johnny Delaware says kid. At 17 he'd take Ayers. At 28 he'd take J.J. Watt.
I don't think Watt's going to be available at 28. He might not be available at 17.
Yeah, he's moving up the boards.
At 33, he takes Leonard Hankerson, wide receiver.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And at 37, this is a trade he thinks he could get for Hoyer. He would take Derek Sherrod, tackle.
Yeah, don't know if he'll be there that far, but...
And then at number 60, he takes Colin Kaepernick.
No.
Ugh.
No. Ugh.
Quarterback?
Nope.
No?
Nope. Ugh. Colin Kaepernick.
Eric wanted to love him, but doesn't.
But no, I can't. Can't do it.
He's as raw as they come.
He's Kevin O'Connell all over again. Let's just put it that way.
I think he's rawer.
So you would take him, but not until like the seventh round?
He's rawer. Rawer, Kaepernick.
I think you have better prospects
than
you could
take
earlier.
He's having a little conversation with himself and the imaginary Scooby-Doo in his head.
How about Daniel Graham? Anybody bringing him back?
Or Damian Woody?
No.
Damian Woody. Woody said he's getting blown up on Twitter from Patriots fans telling him to come
back. I'd bring back Graham if the plan is not to bring back Crumpler.
I would agree
with
Crumpler's
that. But Crumpler's under contract, idea, so I think you're set at tight end.
Why would you upset that apple cart?
Right.
Tight end
right. That's what I'm saying.
Unless Crumpler you think is physically done.
No.
Right.
And I don't think
I don't think he is.
So, yeah, I wouldn't upset that.
Nope.
That seems to work well.
Leave that status quo.
I mean, I don't think the job that Crumpler did as a leader of those two, I'm going to call them knuckleheads, can be overrated. I mean, I think he did a phenomenal job leading those two.
Yeah. He was
and I would not want to disrupt that.
He was essentially
but lovable knuckleheads.
I love him, but I think there was work there on Algie Crumpler's part.
Yeah, he was essentially the position coach.
Right, and I don't think everybody wants to be that. And I'm not sure if Daniel Graham wants to be that. And Daniel Graham is, he can have a little meanness to him. Not in a bad way, but I think if he were the veteran, there's a chance he butts heads with one of those and gets angry with them. And that trio worked really well. Let's keep the trio intact for
a year.
Hopefully they'll grow up and then Crumpler can go away and move on.
Todd in Nova Scotia says, thanks for the great combine coverage, but the love fest on Tuesday's show was just too much. Eric and Andy to Boston, come back bosom buddies. They were even finishing each other's sentences. Fred, next year, please get them a bigger bed. Maybe spring for a king size so Paul can go and sleep in between them just to make sure there isn't any funny business.
That's disgusting.
I was wondering about a couple of...
We'd never
of...
fit in the same bed with Paul.
It's true.
Why, Charlie Sheen does it.
35 feet apart.
Maybe Paul could call you his goddesses. You know, like Charlie Sheen does his two.
I think that's, I don't know.
By the way, I'm behind Charlie Sheen. I'm backing him.
With his porn stars?
I just lay off. Lay off Charlie.
Why?
You know.
Rip him.
I was wondering about
entertaining, though.
I was wondering about a couple second or third day guys just in case Bill crushes us and trades away 17 and 28 for first rounders in 2012 and 2013. We all are pretty familiar with some of the first round guys, but maybe the ambiguously blank duo, because we're not doing it anymore. No, screw you, Andy. Spoke to any of you following guys.
Cool, ambiguously cool.
KJ Wright.
Why would it be ambiguous?
Talk to him. He's out of Mississippi State.
KJ Wright? No.
No? How about Ugo Chinasa, Oklahoma State? No?
No.
Jabal Sheard out of Pitt? No?
Nope.
At the combine.
You've got to send Andy to the Senior Bowl next year just to see how hyped he can get after spending a week with these kids in a less structured setting.
Yeah. That would be fun. Maybe I'll go to the Senior Bowl next year and Paul will go to
the Combine. I was just going to say, maybe Paul can go to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, that would make sense because he's a senior.
He's a citizen.
Yeah. Do they accept his AARP card there? Half off hot dogs?
He looks like a Southern man.
Get
one of those caps that the Southern men wear.
What, caps?
Piss hats?
Cap. Yeah.
The piss hats?
The pith hat?
Pith hat.
Not piss. You can't just say piss.
I said pith hat.
You said piss.
Ah, I think you heard me wrong.
We've reached that point in the Fox News day when we have two blondes on screen that I would do.
And Andy's distracted.
It's in HD today for some reason, Fred. We never have good signal down here, and all of a sudden Fox News is in
Well, now we
clear.
Have Verizon. We have Verizon Fios
Megan
now.
HD.
We got rid of that other company, and now we have Verizon Fios.
You can't even mention her name.
I can't.
We got rid of that other company.
We did?
Yeah. We have Verizon Fios now.
So this is True Qualm?
It's True Qualm.
I have no qualms about it. I would.
James in Brisbane.
Shannon Bream.
Hey, guys. Well done, Andy, on your superb draft coverage.
Thank you.
Same goes for Eric.
See his little pause.
Yes, dramatic pause there.
First of all, a job for Kevin, since he's probably on Facebook at the moment. Create a fan page for this show as well, since it gets more run than the AK-47 show.
There is
I
one,
know
isn't
this
there?
For this show?
I thought there was.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure someone started one. There's a website. Go to pfwprogress.com. Go to the forum. Post some ideas. Get the chats going. There's a very passionate group of fans there.
I know there's a group there already, but a fan page would be cool, since he could provide info and updates about the show. If he does, I'll be one of the first to sign up for it.
Yeah, we should have that.
We probably should have.
The AK-47 show should not have one.
We probably should have a Facebook page.
Well, Kevin created that because
he was part of it. The
show should also have its own Twitter account,
too. My suggestion is the pfwinprogress.com guys, or James, should do the Facebook page. Just convert the website into a Facebook page.
But then I can't go.
Sure you can. Why can't you go?
Don't you have to have a Facebook
page? You have to have a Facebook page.
Yeah, you have to create.
I don't do Facebook.
I have one. I don't use it, but I have an account so I can go there.
I refuse.
How would that affect the listener map, though? That's like their best creation.
You could maybe create something where you could insert that into the page. I don't know. They can figure it out. Secondly, a quick either-or draft
your
question.
Your mom and dad are in Providence, so.
A quick either-or draft
question.
Westport.
Whatever.
Westport. Whoa, whoa. Wherever
if you're going to make a joke, you should get it right. That's why you get it. You're always going to be listening.
A quick either-or draft question. This is hypothetical, so no offense sitting, Paul. Paul's not here. So, the 2011 draft has just happened, and because of trades, the Pats have 9 new players. Would you rather, option one, they pick up an entire draft class of good, solid players like Jimmy Sanders, Green Ellis, and Mike Wright, who are never going to be superstars, but play for 10 years as contributors and develop a stalker or two within the organization?
Mike Wright wasn't drafted.
Option two, would you rather they pick up one superstar player like an Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, DeMarcus Ware, Julius Peppers, or any position you want, and the rest of the draft class flames out a la 2007 and are out of the league in 3 years because they suck?
Whichever one is more productive.
I would take the superstar.
Which would most likely be the superstar.
But the 07,
that's if you could tell me that I had no 9 superstar. Guys that were all...
Mike Wrights?
No. Jimmy Sanders and Mike Wrights? I'd take the 9
team
guys.
Needs impact playmakers.
Yeah, they do. We got enough of those value, special
I know,
teams.
But you're talking about getting one guy out of the whole draft class.
But one guy can change your team.
Who's tremendous.
If you had Julius Peppers, would this defense have been as bad as it was?
No. Not if they didn't have the journeyman to go around him.
No, we don't have to give anybody away. We already have all the players that are currently on the roster. It's who we're adding. Do we add more Jags or do we add a star? And I want to add a star. I'm giving all these guys credit. I'm giving Brandon Spikes and Gary Guyton credit that they're going to be very good complementary players. I'm giving that credit to Jermaine Cunningham and Ninkovich and these guys. What I want to add is a star.
So you think you're good as is minus the star. You need a star.
You won 14 games last year, and then you fell on your face when you needed impact playmakers in the postseason.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
I know it's very anti what the Patriots seem to go for, but I'm thinking with the youth and volume of players already on the roster from the last two drafts, getting that true superstar that every team will have to game plan against may make the difference in future seasons.
So for a while there, you were going on the rant on how they drafted 24 players in a 2-year span. So clearly don't need another 9.
No. James is with you, Andy.
Get Uno.
He wants the one game changer.
Yeah, I'm not totally stuck on Quinn. If there's really rumors that Bill is in love with A.J. Green, I'll take him. Because I think he's an impact, great player. If it's Peterson.
That would still leave concerns, though, about
the pass rush.
Yeah.
But we can get a Kerrigan. Oh, no, not in that scenario.
Not in that scenario. You get nobody.
Brian Gilliland writes in. This is Brian in Rothesay, New Brunswick. I'm a religious listener, and like Fred, I'm a big-time homer.
We're not big on
is
religion
he on an
around
island?
Here, so
going to be on Gilliland's Island.
I see what you did there.
I'm wondering what you guys think about Danny Watkins. He's a bit older at 27, but
good
with
story.
The retirement of Neal, wouldn't it be worth our second pick in the round two? Unless, of course, they traded it with every other pick for Quinny, like Andy's dream, since most draft knobs think he can start right away.
Here's an interesting story.
What is his story?
He was he became a firefighter right out of high school
in Canada.
In Canada, British Columbia. Then moved to California, and still was a firefighter, I believe. And started to play football, and eventually enrolled in a small college, and then transferred to Baylor.
Yes, Baylor.
And became a legitimate top-flight prospect. And he's older, obviously, than most rookies. So he's already more of an established.
Right.
Mature player.
Right.
He's a hockey goon growing up.
He was a hockey and rugby player also in high school, so he's got some athleticism a la Stephen Neal. So he's kind of an interesting story.
Okay. Imagine Keith, like a guard on skates, like 300.
Where do you think he might go?
Second round.
Yeah.
Really? That high?
Yeah, he's a second, maybe a little lower, but he's a second-tier guard prospect.
Second day, at least.
Yeah, not real elite. There may be no guards. I know Pouncey's on the rise there and Wisniewski, but there's no surefire interior prospect in this draft.
Keith in Central Florida. Great show. Just wanted to put in my vote to draft Mark Herzlich. In 2008, I saw him play Florida State at Doak Campbell Stadium, and the guy was making plays all over the field, stopping the run for little or no gain. He made a couple plays for loss as well. I want to say he had a sack and a couple hurry-ups on the QB as well. This guy was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year in 08 for a reason. And from what I've seen of Mark, he definitely lived up to that award. We all know about the setback with cancer. I believe that Mark has the work ethic and abilities to get back to form. Mike Mayock said that Herzlich could be the steal of the draft if he gets back to form, which I believe he will, as he's already made great improvements. I don't think Mark will last to the second round and would love to see the Pats get him.
You don't think he'll last till the second round?
Yeah, he says.
In other words, he's going to be a first-round pick?
He says, I don't think Mark will last by the second round.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
494.
He'll be available on day three. And if he's there on day three, I don't have a problem taking him with one of the, you know, they'll probably have compensatory picks and other.
But comparing him to the guy who was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year is a little misleading.
He claims he's himself as Defensive Player of the Year, you mean? Comparing him to what he was?
Yeah, he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy that had cancer since then and has not gotten back to those levels.
Yeah, he says he's 100%.
That was his biggest mistake of the combine. I'll say it again. Don't say you're 100% and then go run out of 4.94 40.
But I agree he still, I think, could work his way back to that level. So if he's around on day three, round four, round five, take a flyer on him.
You won't regret it in other ways. I mean, if he just doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out. But he oozes it.
He does.
Let's see. Sam wants to know, what's the address for the front office to send an email?
Well, I meant web.
Yeah, web.
Well, just you can go on pages.com into the feedback section, and you can choose front office.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So do that, Sam, please.
Let's see.
Have your wife do it, too.
Scott writes in, I was looking at the numbers on J.J. Watt from the combine, and although he shrunk an inch, his measurables, 40 bench press, 3-cone drill, seem excellent. Depending on which mock I see, it seems as if he will be there at 17. And although some are looking to gamble on the next Golston, I think this player looks like a sure thing for the position, and he would not have to come off the field on third down. Any thoughts, Eric?
Thoughts on J.J. Watt?
Yep.
You know what?
You know what? I'm not sold on him yet. I know he had a great combine. I know his stock has been rising. you got to warn me when you're doing that. But I'm still not convinced. I mean, this is a guy who's only played defense for basically...
This is a guy.
2 years.
Yeah.
And one of those years, he was a scout team defender. So 1 year, legitimately. He's got upside, but I'm not convinced he's worthy of a first-round pick at this point.
Okay.
Interesting cookies they sent today.
What do we got?
What they said?
They're pre-packaged, but they're
the
Otis Spunkmeyer Bakery Fresh pre-packaged. They're not those other ones.
Spunkmeyer?
Oh. Yeah, they're filled with spunk.
Oh, God.
No, they're you know, they...
Like 5-hour energy.
Willed cookies.
Yeah, right. They don't go down without a fight.
Oh, and they're harder crap.
Stripper says that Paul should be
post... I thought spunk would be softer.
Mark tape!
Paul says that, Stripper says that Paul should be posting pictures. Does he know how? Probably not.
No, he doesn't. I don't either.
The show's been actually really good with
that. Your phones can take pictures, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually easy.
It's very easy.
In the Twitter thing, there's a little photo icon. I've posted it. You just take the photo, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, these are the driest, crunchiest cookies ever.
Really?
I like crunchy cookies.
They didn't throw them in the oven for us beforehand, that's why.
Okay. I wanted the fresh ones. The cranberry and white chocolate chip.
Craig in Ottawa, got a few trade ideas for you if someone is slipping in the draft. We trade the 33rd, 74th, and 92nd pick for the 14th overall selection. Maybe we get three quality guys in the first round. I don't mind keeping the picks or trading to get picks next year either. I think we could get J.J. Watt, 17th, Anthony Costanzo, 28th, Jonathan Baldwin, 33rd, and we could trade the 60th, 74th, 92nd, get the 29th overall. Andy, we won't trade up to the third pick to get Quinn, but I do agree that if he slips to the sixth, that Belichick will jump at it in a heartbeat.
Me too.
Great coverage from the combine. I just wanted to give you guys a few ideas besides trading the whole draft for Quinn.
I don't think the trade he says, I don't think they would do, because I think they're going to try to maximize the value of that 33rd pick on the beginning of the second round.
They'll get offers
for that.
That
just reeks of what they'll go for.
Right.
Especially if Ryan Mallett slips through and he's hot and everybody wants Ryan Mallett or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they will try to maximize the value of that pick to open the second round there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
Upbeat.
I got a little food
DJ
in my
Dvorkin
body.
Back there.
Got a little food, a little energy.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were wasting away.
Yeah. Now I got tuna in my teeth.
Fish breath.
That's tuna.
Smells like fish.
Brian in Baltimore writes in at PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Where'd you get the tuna from?
Randy.
They have a good tuna.
Yeah, they have a decent tuna. Yep.
Not pure white tuna, but.
No, I like white, but it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get in the can, you can get some gross stuff.
It's, yeah, too fishy.
Yeah.
You don't like it in the can, Andy?
No.
You need the white
I'm
albacore.
Not like you, Eric.
You need the white albacore. Hey, guys, and Eric, says Brian in Baltimore.
Bitch.
Oh, and Andy, welcome back from the combine.
Bitch.
It's great to have you
Thank
back.
Thank you.
After Tuesday's show, I think I'm ready to pull a Ditka and go get Quinn.
Woo!
That would be a moronic move. So
it
I
would
was,
also be tremendous from the PFW perspective because we'll write the Robert Quinn profile
right,
and we're done.
Right.
We're going golfing,
that's
boys.
Right. So I was bored at work this morning, and I was thinking about a new schedule proposal that I think would address the needs of players, owners, and the league's fans as a whole. Here we go. Shorten preseason games.
Pause to burp for Fred in case you couldn't see it.
Well, you couldn't see it.
Short
or hear it.
What's that?
Or smell
what's
it.
That?
Good Lord.
He's getting frustrated now.
Let's see. He says he wants to shorten preseason games to 3
okay.
and expand to an 18-week regular season, 16 games and 2 byes.
Eric and who?
For the playoffs, I would add 4 wild card teams to playoffs, 8. Making 16 teams total.
Nope.
And add 4 playoff games, 11 to 15. This
no.
year, we
weren't
would
all
have
you people bitching about the Rams
many,
or
yeah. no, whoever
Seahawks.
Seahawks
yeah.
Their,
right. Too many playoff teams. There are enough playoff teams right now.
This year, we would have added Tampa Bay, the Giants, San Diego, and Jacksonville. Definitely all playoff caliber teams when they played up to their potential.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's
all
the
teams would be seeded 1 through 8. 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7, etc., meaning no buys for the first and second seeds. Winning your division guarantees a 1-4 seed in a home playoff game, and all of the tiebreakers and seeding rules will stay the same. The schedule would easily appease owners by adding to the TV revenue due to an extra week of programming for the regular season and 4 extra playoff games. It would also address player safety by not technically adding games and giving teams a second bye. I think most fans would like this because it would add excitement, because more teams have a chance, and it would increase the probability of more late-season important games and less meaningless end-of-season games like now. How good do you think this is? Am I forgetting to think about anything, and should I be working for the NFL?
Oh, God, no.
Yes and no. So basically, in short, he wants 4 preseason.
Down seven, to 3.
What it is now, it's 4 preseason, 17 weeks, including the bye, and 5 weeks of playoffs, including Super Bowl off week, and 12 playoff teams. The new schedule would be 3 preseason games, 18 weeks with 2 byes, 5 weeks of playoffs, including Super Bowl off weeks, and 16 playoff teams.
I'm okay with the 3 preseason games. I'm okay with the 16 out of 18, but I don't like the added playoff teams. I like the playoffs the way they are.
All right.
Why is everybody it's just money. I know the answer. I don't know why I'm asking it, but everybody just wants to keep expanding. The tournament this year is, what, 68 teams?
Too many, yeah.
I read a story about, you know, we could really just open it up to all 325 teams, and it wouldn't be that difficult. You're just adding a couple rounds of games and blah, blah.
What? That's crazy.
Why do we want to let crappy teams battle for national titles and championships? Why?
And it's bad enough you have.
Why are you looking at me like, did you have an accident over there?
Uh-oh.
He's, like, looking
no.
at me.
Oh, it's about to
spewing. Fred's spewing all over himself.
No, I'm not. Why? So the question is, why are these leagues...
Just everybody talks about expanding.
Because
expanding.
You can't stand still. You got to keep going forward. Or
backwards.
Right.
Standing still, you know where you are. But in trying to go sometimes you go
the
backwards.
The point is, there is no such thing as standing still.
One step forward.
You're either going forward or you're going backwards.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, that's the way they feel. That's why they're always thinking about expanding.
Right.
You know? The other thing we talked about earlier
and then
about
like the NHL was always thinking about expanding. They realized, oh crap, we expanded too much. In Major League Baseball, we expanded
too much. The other thing
much.
We talked about, you know,
you dilute your product
earlier.
You went backwards by trying to go forward.
Exactly.
Sometimes standing still is going forward.
We talked about, you know, a possible good thing coming out of this whole thing would be that free agency could start after the draft. If it did, and it started like in, you know, if they moved things, the draft earlier, and they had free agency start in April, that would be great because it would steal all the headlines from baseball. That would be really good.
Really good.
This is where Paul like shakes his head. You know,
who cares? Do you really care about baseball?
I care about competing.
It's not a competition. It's a hammer in the nail. The NFL kills baseball. Blows
them
out of
the water.
Not
in this town.
Blows them out.
Not in this town.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah. TV wise, it might, but you know, when it comes to coverage, the Red Sox get as much, if not more. Screw the Sox.
From
let's
who?
Talk some football.
All of the
from outlets.
Their radio partner.
From the radio partner, from the newspaper that owns 17% of them.
Exactly. You're not going to change that. They're always going to be in bed.
No, but they have to. If free agency started in April, oh, my God.
What?
fans
How
would
often
be,
are the Patriots active no, players on a major free agent
No, it doesn't matter. Market? NFL fans would be focused on football.
Well, you were talking about this town. This town,
there's a lot of NFL fans in Boston.
But the Globe and the Herald are not going to dramatically change their coverage to write that the Oakland Raiders signed some high-profile free agent. Unless the Patriots are active participants in the April 1st free agency, it's irrelevant.
They'd be covering it.
They will cover it, just like they cover it now, but it's not that big a deal. You need to get over your whole baseball Red Sox thing.
Why?
Because it's annoying.
But it's true.
But it's true that it's annoying.
Only to you guys, because you don't really like the Patriots.
Oh, that's not, don't about? Say that.
Paul in the University of North Carolina is on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and he wants to talk about Robert Quinn. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
What do you know about Quinny?
I wanted to call in. I rarely like to let Andy know when he's being right, but he is dead on about Robert Quinn. I've been here at UNC for 4 years now. I'm a grad student, and there was an actual visible difference. I mean, I realize there were 9 players missing on the defense this year, but there was a visible difference, especially, you know, the Patriots had real problems getting off the field on third down. And, you know, Robert Quinn was really the one, you know, getting in the passer's face, always letting them know that he was there and, you know, really disrupting the quarterback on those big plays. So, Andy, you are actually head on, and I would absolutely love it. I actually agree with you. If they were to trade 17 and 28 to move up into the top 10 to get Robert Quinn, I would actually be all for that.
Me too, but would you go beyond that? I think 17 and 28, if I can get it done for 17 and 28, I do the deal today. I think it's an easy decision. The question is if you have to go above and beyond that at all.
I don't know that I would trade all three, 17, 28, and 33.
Yeah, I'd be scared too.
Did you see him at all on campus last season when he was suspended and working out on his own?
I mean, you know, I see like the basketball players and the football players walking around, you know, just going to get lunch, that kind of thing.
Mm. He had nice jewelry, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The watches, the necklaces, the bracelets, you know, full 9 yards.
He paid dearly for those, even though they were free.
Yes, he did. Well, pretty much everyone did. I mean, I even saw a ESPN article on the Insider saying that, you know, if that this whole thing hadn't gone down, that UNC should have been contending for a national title. And, I mean, you look at their first two losses against Georgia Tech and LSU, both of them were by a touchdown, and we basically had our second-team defense, and it was kind of ridiculous.
All the UNC players were saying that at the Combine, too.
And he acknowledged, I mean, that everybody paid dearly, his family, the coaches, the school, everyone, for their mistakes.
Yeah.
But, well, thank you for the praise, but it's not just me. You know, I know I started the bandwagon back in August, but Mike Mayock and Lombardi.
He's been listening to Patriots.com, PFW in progress, and, you know, I was just kind of riding coattail.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Spread the gospel.
Yes. Preach it, bruh.
And I will definitely write into the front office and let them know that I'd love to keep you guys around, lockout or no lockout.
Yeah, that one's even more important because I like my paycheck more than I like praise.
Thank you.
Do that right now if you have a chance.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys.
All right. So that's some good information from you.
We like these, these on-campus sources.
You know, I didn't go to a big school. We didn't have a football team, let alone a gym.
But you had a YMCU.
I just wonder, like, when you're on a campus like Ohio State, Michigan, one of those big football factories, what's it like? What are these guys like? Are they like celebrities that you don't even approach?
Yes.
Are they in their own world in terms of
they're celebrities.
Walking around the campus?
Yeah, they're celebrities. I mean, a little there, Mallett talked about it, how they're celebrities. Everywhere you go, you sit down at a diner. It's like Tom Brady sat down at the diner.
Really?
To them, that's Tom Brady.
That's tough.
He's the quarterback of their
kid.
Professional. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why they all get effed up.
Yeah, they get all delusional.
Because they're not mature enough to deal with that. I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm 18, 19, 20 years old.
You wouldn't be now.
Probably not. I don't think any of us would be if we were thrown
really,
right into it.
You know, in a way, their college experience is so much different
than the normal,
than the average kid who goes to college.
Of course.
And is it better? I don't know. It may not be, because you live, eat, and sleep that football program.
It's a job.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job when you're
program.
In Division
Whereas,
One.
You know, we're
let's not pretend they don't have fun.
No.
They're out drinking on the weekends, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
They are.
That's why.
They are.
Did you get that naive. Did you get that SI or CBS News report about the criminal records among Division
One
athletes?
Yeah, but when they go to a frat party,
the hottest girl is giving them a,
But everything they do.
A job?
Yes.
Everything they do can and probably will be tweeted out or photographed or, you know.
To some degree, yes.
Yeah.
They have to be cautious, but
they're
still
having
a pretty
fun.
Good life. They have fun. Don't pretend like they are blinders on. I'm just focused on football.
We know that. In fact, there was a report yesterday, not a report, but I guess Sports Illustrated.
You gotta be effing kidding me. He just brought that up.
What?
What you're gonna say? The report about the criminal records among Division I football
background
players.
Well, they're gonna look into it. They're gonna look into and try to uncover all these reports.
And only one top 25 team did any background reports or on their recruits and stuff. Yeah. Which
the only one in the top 25 who didn't have a player was TCU.
Yeah.
They didn't have a player with a criminal background. Stanford was next with one, I believe. Hmm. But yeah, that's troubling because they get into these situations. They think they're invincible. They think they're immune from.
But it doesn't start in college either. It starts.
Starts in high school, of course,
or earlier in this day and age. I mean, you always see in these middle school kids who are the next LeBron or the next this, the next that. It starts. Especially in basketball and some of the other sports where there's that whole AAU and camps and that process. Football, a little
different, but
they're still recruiting. Yeah. They're still, you know, this guy switches to this school, he goes to this academy, and they're treated differently from an early age.
It's way too much of a business in youth sports nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't think kids are having fun the way we used to have fun when we played youth sports.
Well, when they're getting a job. Later in life.
Oh, well, that's different. I'm talking about actually playing the sport.
Right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, I don't know. I think once you're between the lines, then the sport takes over. It's all the other crap that.
But I don't remember kids having the kind of pressure to succeed at youth sports that there is now. When we were growing up,
different times.
Well, not that different.
Decade.
Not that different.
Decade.
But it's not that different. But.
Wow.
My point is you always had the little league parents who would get upset and would live vicariously through their kids. But nowadays it's become it really has become a business because they see their child as a prospect.
Well, around New England.
And not just their child.
You know, I know we
have
not a prospect, a cash cow.
You know,
exactly.
We have listeners from all over the world, but in New England, hockey's big. And the commitment for parents who have kids playing hockey was always more than any other sport.
Right, because of rink time.
And the incidents with, you know, the hockey parents and violence and getting mad at another parent or attacking a coach. Hockey had the highest rate of those because I think the pressures on the parents were more in hockey. But
it's interesting.
But to your point, Eric, now those pressures are catching up with the other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so that raises the blood pressure for parents in these other sports too.
Right.
And now we're seeing stuff in other sports, you know, where parents are getting freaking out because of the demands on the kids and thus the parents in these other sports. And it's unfortunate.
I hadn't thought of the hockey thing, though, with more incidents of ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense, though. If you're getting up at 3 in the morning and
you're
cranky. You have to drive 3 hours.
Right.
And you're on, there's a chance you're going to get into a fight
right.
with somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And plus,
everybody's annoyed.
The nature of that sport, hockey eventually gets to the point
right.
in this country where you can fight
right.
on the ice,
yep.
on the field of play. Other sports, you're discouraged from fighting.
And on
top
of that.
How many fights do you think Paul would get in if he were getting up
every
at 3
night.
Every morning
every,
to drive Will
every night.
3 hours
with all the mothers that, all the hockey moms?
He would definitely get
he'd be swinging at them all the time.
And on top of that,
until they stop breathing.
You know, when it comes to college sports, New England trails a lot of other regions, but not when it comes to hockey.
Right.
We have some of the best hockey schools in the country
not
right
Northeastern,
here.
But
so the schools. Parents see that holy grail. If my kid can, there's a chance I could get at least some of his college paid for at a Merrimack or a U Lowell or
BUBC,
Northeastern.
Maine.
Yeah. So it adds to the, you know, I think parents are crazy, though. They're just nuts.
That's a lot of pressure. If you're looking at the potential of, I have to pay my kid to go to college, or he's going to get $200,000 free or whatever.
I know.
That's a big deal.
If you
just think of it as a pure check for $200,000, you either get or you don't get, people would be willing to do things for $200,000.
You know, when I did some youth coaching, I said to my kid, I go, it's not that I don't like
you.
What did I say?
I don't know where you were going there.
It's not that I don't like adults. I just don't like parents. You know, when they get into that parent mode, it's like my kid needs it. Ah,
yeah,
and that's natural. Some of it goes over the line, but some of that is nature. I mean, every animal sticks up for its cub or its whatever. That some of that is nature
to eat and survive, not play soccer.
But it's the same thing. We all go back to that level. I mean, that's where we come from. That's our roots.
I know.
Survival and protection and all that.
Some of these people. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they seem to forget what's in the best interest of their child.
Yeah, I wasn't raised that way.
I know.
I was left on my own.
and look how you turned out.
That's a good point. But as far as sports go, I just did what I did, right. You know?
Put on a singlet and rolled around with men.
They the parents at the YMCA, a lot of times forget that the kids are supposed to be having fun in the sport. Yes, there's the, you know, the potential for having the $200,000 in college paid for, but at the end of the day, they're kids. They're there to have fun playing the sport. Sure. And I think the parents forgets that, the parents forget that too many times.
Yep.
Email.
Let's see. Somebody wants to know if we've looked into Christopher wants to know if we've looked into Shiloh Keough yet.
Oh, yeah, and now I know why all you guys love him, because he was the poster boy of the combine the other day. Yes, if we need a special team safety, sure, we'll take
undrafted rookie free agent. Enough.
But
enough said.
We're looking for playmakers. It's what we talked about earlier. We're not looking for Jags.
Yeah. And don't get excited over these combine workouts. Mike Mamula, hello.
I loved John Wendell, yeah. Whatever. And he turned out to be a very good NFL special teamer. But he didn't change the direction of a franchise. He played for Buffalo, right, I believe? Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
They're guys. They're nice guys. They're just like Tracy White and Matthew Slater and whatever. They're not going to change the future of the franchise. Would I take him? I guess. Sure, he runs out full speed every drill. That's great.
One of the most interesting notes we had at the combine, the kid from Oregon State, Paya?
Yeah.
It's not Paella who we all started calling him first.
Set the bench press record at the combine. We were looking at all the previous bench press
record.
Bench press benchmark guys.
Right.
And only one of them, Igor Olshansky, made a name for himself in the league. These
stinky
workout warriors don't end up necessarily becoming great NFL players.
Can you imagine the exact opposite?
Gets back to our thing. The guys that have great talent don't always work hard.
Exactly. Can you
imagine
I want
Quinny to slack it here.
The exact opposite of a workout warrior if Paul had ever gone to the combine. He's like the exact opposite of a workout warrior.
Except his tape would show that he's not a game day performer either.
Well, let's just say that he did enough in games to like get an
to
invite.
Go to the combine.
And the numbers he'd put up, oh, my God.
But that's the funny thing with Paul. It's like he has the
attitude choose not to lift.
Of the fireballer. He has the attitude of the guy that throws 100, right, through 72 and was painting the corners.
Rich Eisen would beat him in the 40 with the suit on.
I was wrong.
Johnny was calling in.
What?
He's mailed it in.
He said he was going to call in.
He probably hasn't figured out how to use the phone.
Has he tweeted since the first thing?
I'll get back to you. Read an email, Frank.
Reese could tweet from there.
James Pettigrew. Mike Reese can tweet from his head. Standing on his head. Standing on his head.
Instead of from the heart.
I'm the head. The you should be from the head.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in about the schedule change. He goes, am I missing something? What is wrong with the current season setup and preseason? Why are people even discussing it? Fans may not like the preseason setup, but get real. If season tickets still have a 20-year waiting list, owners are not going to change anything.
What?
Am I the only one that sees the 18-game season as nothing more than a ploy? Why am I feeling so angry?
You're right about that. And what fans are upset about with the preseason is not necessarily the quality of play. It's the prices they're paying for those games.
Actually, speaking of that, once again, Andy, though,
I was
an idea that he had is starting to catch on a little bit.
Which one?
Idea of why don't they just raise the prices of the regular season games and lower the prices
of the preseason games?
Yes. No, raise the price of the regular season games and
lower
the prices or make
games.
Them free.
Yeah.
Somebody actually, I heard them talking about that somebody had the idea, but the reasoning is something you never said that reason why it makes sense is the secondary market. If let's just say that you're a season ticket holder at current prices and you try to sell your preseason tickets and make that money back, you can't do it.
Right.
Nobody wants to buy your preseason tickets.
Right.
So what they're saying is, okay, if you make those free and you raise the prices of the regular season tickets accordingly,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go on the secondary market to sell my regular season tickets, I can make that money back that I used, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the face value of my tickets now in the secondary markets are higher.
Right.
So if I sell a few every year like I do now, I'll make more money back than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
Because preseason
was just
a loss.
Because you weren't selling the preseason.
That was just a loss.
Right, you were taking a bath.
I don't take that into
those
as much consideration because I'm not a big fan of reselling my
No, but the point
but
is
a lot of people do that.
The face value on the secondary market makes that an argument that now maybe you think about.
Well,
but there's legal reasons why you may not be able to do
it. I'm torn there because I'm okay with the season ticket holder who sells two games to pay for his parking or whatever. Just, you know, it helps it to be easier to be a season ticket holder. But to me, the secondary ticket market is driven by the Ace Ticket Hotline here on Patriots.com and those places. I'm not necessarily looking to make life any easier on those people. That's not my goal here. My goal is to help true season ticket holders, fans. And I think that would help them a little bit. But where were you listening to this?
I forget where I saw it. Did they steal
it from us?
What's that?
Did they steal it from
us? No, no. It was out of market that I read it.
There is nothing except the moon that's out of market for us.
That's true.
Our market is global. It's the World Wide Web.
It didn't sound like
the limited web.
It didn't sound like a Patriots fan. Anyway.
Why? It was reasonable.
Russ in Belgrade, Serbia. Right, Sin.
Do we have a pin on the map?
The map's not even up. They took the map down.
The TV. Belgrade, Serbia?
Yeah. It used to be Yugoslavia, and then they broke up the country.
I thought Belgrade was a country.
No, it's a city.
He says, what's the likelihood that the Patriots decide to acquire as many seventh-round picks as possible by trading down frequently during the draft due to having to wait to sign undrafted free agents until after a new CBA has been hammered out?
And just draft them all. That was funny.
Did you see this tweet by PFW Paul?
No, he tweeted I was looking for one.
Ninko, Rob Ninkovich, plans to work out using Mayo's Bowflex.
Mayo has a Bowflex?
Information man Paul Perillo tweeting from Children's Hospital Boston.
It was a joke.
Oh.
Good thing we got these covered now, Fred.
Stripper says, because of Twitter, I get to talk to Oklahoma Sooners who I am a fan of back in the 80s. I had to write a letter to the athletic director at OU to get an autograph.
So who are you talking with?
So I think he's saying he likes Twitter.
Your boy
is that,
Beal.
Is that what he's saying? I don't know.
Slow Beal.
Paul also says he was bummed. Mayo was bummed he didn't get to play PlayStation with some of the kids at Children's Hospital Boston.
He didn't get to.
Didn't get to. He was bummed.
Okay. So they're over
That's
there.
The kind of info we're getting from PFW Paul.
Liz Mullen from Sports Business Journal tweets, breaking sources confirm Jim
sources.
Trotter's tweet from Sports Illustrated, NFL-NFLPA discussing extending NFL-CBA past deadline of midnight tonight.
That was your gut reaction earlier, Fred.
So that's what they're discussing.
His gut is really speaking
that
up
is
now.
Disgusting.
So
by the way, I mean, who's to say what disgusting means, though, either? As
you could talk about it and say, no, we're not going to do
it. People go, no effing way, we're doing that. They're discussing it. They're agreeing there's no way they're doing it.
Okay.
Oh, and speaking of Robert Gallery, who we mentioned earlier in the bus talk,
Bob. Yep.
Adam Schefter tweeting, Gallery says it's time to leave the Raiders.
But are the Raiders tweeting that?
Might be because the Raiders told him to leave.
Right, maybe.
So, would you take Gallery?
Sure. Yeah. Bill loved him.
Yeah.
That's an interesting guy to keep an eye on.
Yep.
I mean, he's been a guard mostly for them, I believe. Yep. But you need help at both. And maybe
you still have the long hair?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's last I saw, which was I think when we played.
Those guys usually cut it when they realize they suck.
Yeah.
You don't want to stand out when you suck. It's okay to stand out when you're the best tackle in the draft and a stud on the but when you're just a guard in the middle, cut your hair.
Kamani is mad at Eric again.
Oh, okay.
He should be.
He said, Eric is such a slacker. I can't believe he wanted to argue with you over tweets. He has become very comfortable and complacent. The way he talks to you is disrespectful. You are the head of new media or however your title
I learned
goes.
It by watching Paul and Andy.
You should discipline that hump. Oh, he calls you a hump.
Go screw.
What does that mean? What is a hump?
Who cares? It's Kamani. Move on.
Just a guy.
It's a verb.
Read an important person's email.
Wow. Eric wants to.
Josh from Waterloo, Iowa.
Hump.
Hey, Combine
it's
reporters and Eric.
Go screw yourself.
Humped. What? No, you do that often.
No, I was telling the emailer.
Oh, I thought.
And he's not listening.
I'm not talking about you.
No, I'm talking about you. You do that often.
No, Josh said, hey, Combine reporters.
Yeah, Josh, go to hell.
Just so you know, your boss is out there.
Andy said that the waiter in Indy must have thought they were a gay couple. It was probably because Eric had his tongue in Andy's ear. That was usually a dead giveaway.
It's not my ear.
He's got the cotton ear over there.
Tyler Sash out of Iowa. Tyler Sash out of Iowa is an intriguing player. He's not going to wow anyone
like
with his numbers at the combine, but he always makes plays. He has 13 interceptions in 3 years and always seems to be in the right place at the right time and steps up for big occasions.
He made me laugh. He said, why do I have a lot of interceptions? Because quarterbacks throw me the ball. He made me laugh out loud. And I do like him, though. He's an intriguing guy. You know, I don't know that there's a need for him here. This is a pretty deep safety position. Mm. Unless you were adding
or getting rid of
Peterson,
one of the other ones.
Yeah, but I don't see that as a huge need to add another you know, mid-level talent, and I think that's what he'll be. I don't think he'll ever be. You know, James Sanders might be a comparison, a type of guy you won't regret.
So you'll fall
team.
In love with him.
Yes, I think New Englanders would fall in love with him from day one. He'll play on special teams. He'll make some plays, but he'll never be.
You're going to want 53
Ed
of him
Reed.
On your team.
Well, I want 53 James Sanders.
Yeah, but you could have two teams.
Dan Keevy from Pretoria. Where's Pretoria?
Illinois.
No, South Africa.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Don't pretend you were going to say
that. I was thinking Peoria.
Of course you were, but I didn't say that.
No, you didn't.
Dan Keevy writes in, the rugby player might have been Nas. We're talking about a rugby player that played?
Watch.
Nas Botha. He was a South African fly half, that's the position name, who emigrated for a month or two to attend a training camp, and he thinks it was Dallas. I believe he's right.
Yeah,
I remember hearing about that.
Well, I know Dallas was interested in some rugby players. I don't know if that's the one I was specifically thinking of.
Yeah.
We were discussing their openness to kind of seek out people in other sports. And speaking of that, have you seen this Adidas commercial? It's not on right now, Fred. I didn't mean seeing it right now, this one in particular. It's called, like, Athlete Tour or something. And some guy's doing, like, 30 sports in 30 days, but everything. He's competing... Not just baseball,
like what
football,
I did to you
hockey.
In San Diego.
Right. but he's doing, like, fireman challenges.
Yeah.
And it's for – Myoplex is the sponsor, and they're going to keep him fueled and keep him competitive to do it. It looks really interesting, though. 30
wasn't
days in a row.
Don't, wasn't
just
because
they were
– We
sorry.
Keep looking
they
at the TV
the
like
– issue on TV, and Fred and Eric are just stopped in their tracks.
Wasn't Myoplex the thing that Brady was involved in a couple of years back?
I don't know.
The – It was a product. Wasn't he endorsing a product? Remember he did that interview on the Toronto radio station, and it was the first interview he did?
Yeah, that wasn't Myoplex.
It was some sort of
product
like
that.
No, it was something
else. He was involved with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Might have just been in Canada.
It was after a surgery.
It was after the first interview he did.
Right.
But it wasn't as big as Myoplex.
Oh, okay.
Myoplex is big.
Mike Gherkin writes in.
Pickle.
The Pickle Man.
Working his gherkin.
Hey, PFW crew, thanks again for this special edition of the show. I thought we could play a quick draft edition of Who Would You Rather?
Yes.
Brooklyn Decker.
At 17, Ryan Kerrigan or J.J. Watt?
Kerrigan.
Okay. At 28, Cameron Hayward or Anthony Costanzo?
Hayward.
Costanzo.
Assuming that you already got a defensive end earlier?
No, I'm not in love with Hayward.
Okay.
A little bit injury-prone and a little bit... going more towards end to tackle than I'd like. I'd like a little more athleticism. I'm not in love with him.
At 33, Akeem Ayers or Raheem Moore? Free safety.
Ayers.
And at 61, Ben Igiliana or Ross Idowling?
Ross Idowling. He's a cornerback from Virginia.
I'll take the Villanova kid.
I need a guard. I like both of them, actually, but I'll... Yeah, we need a guard more. I'll take the lineman.
I hadn't drafted any yet in your little scenario, so need a lineman. Did we take Costanzo?
You did.
I did.
We split on that.
Okay, so now I got a guard and a tackle. What's his name's got a little
couple
flexibility.
Of defenders.
Got a couple, yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that draft.
Okay. Michael Simmons.
Quinn.
Why am I saying last names today? Mike from Pensacola, Florida says, my question is Simmons.
Russell's brother.
My question has to deal with running back position. What do you guys think of Ryan Williams of Virginia Tech?
Blech.
Nah.
I'm not in love.
No,
I personally
either.
Wouldn't mind seeing him taken with our late second-round pick. He's just a year removed from a 1,600-yard season, and he could be the home run threat that we lack in the backfield. And, Andy, since you were at the combine, what did you think of wide receiver Titus Young from Boise?
He didn't cover the wide receivers. I did, you punk.
Wow. Okay, so Eric, what did you think of this guy?
He looks a tight ass.
Titus Young. We didn't get to speak to Titus Young. We talked to the other Boise receiver, Austin Pettis, who's the taller of the two. Young was the, I believe, like 5'11", 187 type. Big play guy. But he is a big play guy because the bigger size guy, Pettis, was more of the slot underneath. It seems counterintuitive, but... I like the big plays that Titus Young produced at Boise, so I would take either one of those receivers.
Plus, I've heard his name linked to the Pats. Do you think he's a fit? And finally, I have a game for you based on our first round picks and what player you would be selecting.
Okay,
choosing between two players, similar game, different emailer. At 17, Von Miller or Robert Quinn?
Quinn.
Quinn.
At
Wow, if both of those were available and that's the decision, we're going to have a great 10 minutes of radio.
Yep.
Also, what's wrong if they're both available? Right.
Other teams are stupid. Right.
We still haven't talked about, after the game.
After the game.
At 17 again, Cameron Jordan or Alden Smith?
Jordan.
Jordan, because I got Quinn.
Okay. At 20.
No, that's, you said at 17 again.
At 17, yeah. So Quinn's not available.
What? Who?
Cameron Jordan or Alden Smith? Alden Smith.
I'm still going with Jordan.
I want the pass rusher.
At 28, Mike Pouncey or Gabe Ceremi?
Kareemi.
Kareemi. he's the better at the position. Pouncey is not as good, even though he's probably more versatile on the interior.
I'm gonna
he's not as
Pouncey
good as his brother.
Flat out because I didn't like comportment of Gabe Kareemi at the
combine. I didn't like his comportment either, but
didn't
I think he's a better talent than
Pouncey.
He might
be. He looks like a punk.
Dante will kick his ass.
And at 28, take Georgia outside linebacker Justin Houston or trade the pick for a first rounder in next year's draft.
I would take the chance on because there's talent at that position this year. I would take the chance
plus
on the talent.
Plus, if you're trading, well, depending on who you're giving it to next, I don't know.
Giving it to? I need to do a little more
Brooklyn
research
Decker.
On Houston. I haven't seen him play, but Mike Mayock talked about Todd McShay talked about him. And
can't remember that guy's name.
Interestingly, he played in the 3-4 at Georgia as an outside linebacker. Played some defensive end earlier, but McShay sees him as a defensive end, a 4-3 defensive end at the next level. Whereas I think a lot of Patriots fans were assuming, he played outside linebacker in the 3-4 in college. He's our outside linebacker. Need to do a little more work on him to see what he would be for the Patriots or what he would be in general and if he's best suited for a 4-3 DN spot.
Stripper says that Brady pushed Mayo Med.
Yeah, I knew.
Okay, so that's all right.
Knock off.
Mayo Med.
Oh, I got to tell strippers two things. Remind me to get back to one thing. But I saw a guy at the gym yesterday. Remember the guy who was everywhere trying to get the world's biggest arms? He was like openly injecting steroids right into his arms, and he got freakishly big arms, and then they got infected and blew up. They've done documentaries on him.
What?
Yeah, disgusting. There was a guy like him at the gym yesterday. I don't know if he got implants in his arms, has an infection, but his arms were swollen to that degree, like Popeye. Looked like something went wrong. I mean, literally like Nerf footballs were under the skin on both sides. You know how the tricep, when a guy gets a big tricep and he flexes it, it's flat? These weren't flat at all. They were big, rounded, like, I can't even imagine how big, 25-inch arms. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But then he was working out with, like, no weight. So I don't know if they were implants. Very, very strange. But that gym gets weirder by the day every time I go down there.
Implants. Unbelievable.
I figured you go there.
Well, it's close. It's cheap. It's easy.
Bunch of knotheads.
Okay. My second issue, more relevant, is can we get back to why Pro Football Weekly had Robert Quinn going in the second round of their mock draft?
Did you ever find out?
No. And I continue to go with...
Idiot!
They must know something.
Or somebody who was doing it just saw that he didn't play last year.
No, but Nolan Naraki, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're considered... They have a reputation to uphold. And if the guy who goes number one overall, they have in the second round of their mock, even if it's a month and a half before the draft...
Yeah.
That hurts your reputation.
Well, let's
your
see if they change it. They'll probably come out with a post combine mock right away. So you should check them.
But to me, that's all the worse because I'm giving them.
You didn't
the benefit
know about the guy
the doubt,
beforehand.
Right.
Well, in other
Unless
words,
they
it was
know,
a mistake.
Well, they shouldn't make mistakes that bad.
Okay,
that's an egregious mistake. If a guy could be a top, I mean, you
I
have
smell a letter.
No, but seriously, I mean, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they know something. And until I know that, that'll concern me about Robert Quinn.
All right. Caverin in Gainesville writes in, with the news of Neil retiring, how far off is a deal with Mankins? I have to admit, these line issues are starting to bother me.
You sure?
Talked about that at the top of the show. It's creeping up there with urgency to outside pass rush.
Now, would you be scared poopless if next year it's Vollmer, Dan Conley, Dan Copen, Rich Ornberger, Quinn Ojanaka.
Yes.
Me too.
A little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Yep. And if I were Brady, I'd fake a hamstring injury and get the hell out of there.
You were going left to right, I hope.
Yeah, okay. I was going left to right. But, I mean, that's probably your depth chart, right? I mean, take Mankins aside.
And, yeah.
That's probably your depth chart right now at, on the offensive line of starters. Yep. That's a scary thought.
Also, I'll finish up Cavern's email. What's your thoughts on Sidney Rice from the Vikings? I don't get to see many Vikings games, but he appears to always be open deep.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I would take him.
I would take him.
I would try to trade for him.
I don't know how much.
It might be too expensive.
He's a free agent. They didn't do anything with him.
Really?
They chose not to tender him. I mean, tag him or anything. He's a free agent. It's just money.
Then I would try to go after him.
I like him. I don't love him. He's not the perfect fit like Larry Fitzgerald. He's a good, young receiver. He's not superstar elite receiver. He would certainly make this receiving core better. He can get down the field. He would fit in nicely, but I don't know if I would pay him, you know, $55 million or some.
No, I wouldn't go outrageous with it. But
number.
If you could get him for
you won't
decent, you know,
young receivers with talent like that, he'll get paid somewhere. Yeah, Jerry Jones or somebody will swoop in. Someone of those owners with money that wants to spend it.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Another hour.
Thanks for listening. Thanks Another for hour. Writing in. Thanks Another for hour. Calling in. Of course, thanks to Stephen Neal for being with us at around 12:30. He is retired.
And for his
service. We wish him the best of luck and for his service. Regardless of what happens tonight, we will be here on Tuesday, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.